With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public, free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom, and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Don and I, we've been speaking about NGOs and have been trying to separate out a segment sort of about how these non-governmental organizations are sort of taking over the role of the regulator, if I may put it that way. About a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about the CARE Center in Macy. That was the culture, that was a center for culture-based evaluation and so on and so forth. This is being run by Professor Datta. Then last week, we spoke about Living Streets again and part of a network of international organizations pushing for decarbonization of transport and everyone get walking or on your bikes and nothing else. So this week, we're going to have a look at this particular institute, whose name I'm going to pronounce, but it has been registered. It was registered last year, actually, on the 2nd of March. So they've just had their first year anniversary. It is called the Hay, I think, H-E-I, is that right, Don? Hay?
I think so.
Hay Pua Waitanua, Waitanga. See, I knew I would butcher it. No good at this. But what it is the Research Group for Future Generations, Sustainability and Civic Imagination. That's quite a mouthful. Research Group for Future Generations, Sustainability and Civic Imagination. This was launched almost exactly a year ago. It is headed by Professor Bronwyn Hayward, who I saw at the Christchurch Council Public Gallery. And it was registered as a charity under the University of Canterbury Foundation. And, you know, one looks at these institutes, you look at this mouthful that their name is, and you wonder what they are talking about and what they are going to be actually, you know, producing in terms of output. And I was not surprised looking at the outputs from this particular institute. Anything that's about sustainability, we know it's about the exact opposite. And they're talking about youth well-being, how to get youth flourishing in cities. Professor Hayward has also been an IPCC, that's the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, one of its lead authors in a previous report. But she is also very active in the social sphere of this, the sustainability, especially focusing on student activism, student movement, so much so that she's got books on this as well. One of particular note being Children, Citizenship, and Environment. It's called, it goes by this hashtag, the School Strike Edition by Bronwyn Hayward. It was released in 2020. And it talks about the fact that how students with teachers, parents, and other activists can learn to take effective action. Your thoughts on this, Don?
Yeah, effective
action. I can
action.
See your face. Yeah. I can oh, see look, your it, face. I am bracing myself.
Well, it bothers me a lot, this sort of stuff. I mean, we talk about non-jobs in the show. Mm. And I've got this thing going on in my head that says, how did so many people get to positions like this where they create some sort of importance out of output that they've been given the right to come up with? Now, who gave them the right to come up with this stuff? Someone's paying them, and yeah, they ingratiate themselves, their funding comes, and they have output that, you know, is often used to put costs on you and me, and let alone influence the children of the next generation in a way that perhaps will be the opposite to what you and I would like them to be. I don't know. I'm a bit confused to all this. The thing is, Jaspreet, what we always need to see is who funds these places and where the money tree is.
I mean, this has been registered as a charity, but He Pua Waitanga, they say that the 21st century is going to be the century of the city. By 2050, 7 out of 10 will be living in a urbanizing area. I mean, this is these terminologies. Urban area, I understand, urbanizing area. And in this, against this dynamic background, the research team led by Professor Hayward will investigate citizenship, civic governance, democratic urbanization with a particular focus on sustainability issues for children and future generations. And they say their aim as an institute in the University of Canterbury of this one is to identify, understand, and strengthen long-term conditions of intergenerational justice. There's that word again, the J word again, justice, to enable communities to flourish in the context of environmental, social, and economic change. How convenient.
Yeah, and so just reading that out makes it easier for me to listen, because me reading that, I wouldn't have picked it up nearly as well as it. You get it when you read it back to me. Because actually, if you're not conditioned to read that stuff, it's just garbage as far as I'm concerned.
Word salad, yep.
It means nothing to most people. And these people get away with speaking in this language in a way that is about turning people like me off, actually. They don't want me to understand
it. People, I mean, seeing the public gallery, so the School Strike for Climate Christchurch coordinator was there, Aurora. Professor Hayward were there. There were other groups there as well, the cycling lobby and so on. Where is the representation for the business association there on that particular street where they're building the cycleway, which the council says is going to take away all the car parks? Where is this being driven from? We need to understand, as a country, we've got these organizations everywhere around us, especially in academia, who have, for lack of a better word, tentacles everywhere. There's another institute that Professor Hayward is associated with. It's called CUSP, Center for Understanding Sustainable Prosperity. What does that mean? Who defines, first of all, what is sustainable? Who defines what is sustainable? Then sustainable prosperity. And there's a center to understand that. I mean, sustainable meant, as some wise person once said, something that keeps your stomach filled and a roof over your head.
These people have never liked the market economy as we're supposed to have had since the mid-80s. They've done everything they can possibly do to destroy the open markets of this country by having these non-jobs. You know, if the marketplace needed these people to be doing all this thinking, it would desire it.
It would automatically. You wouldn't need to soft launch a center
last year
on 2nd of March, which is now celebrating its first anniversary. So under this group called CUSP, the Center for Understanding Sustainable Prosperity, there's another tentacle there called CYCLES, C-Y-C-L-E-S, just as it sounds. And this acronym stands for Children and Youth Lifestyle Evaluation and Sustainability. They're looking at, you know, 7 cities across the world. And they say that children and young people, they are looked at in the study as competent actors in their own rights, with the right to participate in decisions that affect their life. And that's where all this climate change and school strike for climate and everything, you know, be it from Rainbow Youth to everything. The childhood of children is no more. It's almost like they come out, right, and let's fit them into these molds. Let's teach them how to think. What to think, not how to think. If they taught them how to think, I wouldn't have a problem. They're telling them what to think, and that's that.
They want to clone their minds. That's what they want to do. They want to clone their children so that they all come across to their agenda. And, of course, I go back to what I talked about earlier in the show. Go back to X and listen to Tucker Carlson interviewing Xi Van Fleet, and then make your mind up about how useful this indoctrination of children really is. It doesn't end well. It doesn't end well if you let it keep going. And the interesting thing is, I don't want to put you off your trail here, but I watched Professor Hayward address the Christchurch City Council recently, and perhaps 18 months, 2 years ago. And she opened it up by saying, yeah, they obviously clearly know this lady at their council. It was when Mayor Dalziel was at the helm, and she introduced herself as who she was, and then she said, but I'm here in my private capacity, not as my University of Canterbury position. Well, clearly, based on what we've now read about, you know, what we've seen her her work streams cover, she was speaking in her own professional, in the university's professional capacity, really, wasn't she? Because you can't
she
avoid
offered the services of her colleagues and herself.
Yes. You can't try to differentiate yourself. You're a professor at a university, and then you say when you're talking that you're not actually representing the university. Well, it didn't sound like it. She was definitely representing
She very clearly, I listened to that speech. It was nearly 2 years ago, her deputation on the long-term plan. Yeah. She very clearly said, my colleagues and I, we can help you.
Yes.
We can do a better job. And you need to look at this Massey study, Massey University, which is doing, you know, a great job of pinpointing people and their level of deprivation and all of this. So this is yet another NGO that is existing within academia to our universities and going along to councils making decisions for us.
Yeah, and worse, not as an IPCC reviewer, not telling the council and people around that want to know what the IPCC reports, the latest reports, did say about representation concentration pathways. It's not the worst case. They're still talking the implausible scenarios rather than what the IPCC is saying about sea level rise and representation concentration pathways and the like. So I think it's now 2.6 to 4.7 they're saying is that plausible scenario, or is even that, am I getting that too high? But what irks me is every council in New Zealand is being misled by the output of these people who should know better. And they do know better. They keep peddling misinformation and disinformation.
I think even promoting themselves as climate experts is wrong, Don. We have seen climate needs a knowledge of physics.
Yes.
I don't see relevant qualifications for many people in that particular discipline.
Yeah, that's for sure. You see a whole lot of some alternative disciplines, that's for sure. You wonder how they become expert in their field, climate.
Yeah, totally. Well, I guess with that done, I think we should call it a wrap for this Monday afternoon now.
Yeah, 1 p.m. comes around quickly, doesn't it? And of course, we've got to make room for our producers to do their things. So,
and Monday comes around soon enough. But thank you so much, those who could listen in this morning. 2057 is our number, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. Remember, you can listen to us tonight on repeat if you wish to go that way between 7 to 10 p.m. tonight, or if you really want to ruin your Saturday morning. 7 to 10 a.m. on Saturdays. Please keep those feedbacks and emails coming through, guest suggestions as well. And of course, anything climate crazy in your hood, we would like to know more about it. And Don, take it away.
Yeah, look, we're going to go out, listeners, with John Mellencamp's song, Rain on the Scarecrow. I think it's quite apt for the sort of stuff New Zealand farmers and farmers around the world are facing, and the sort of stuff that Jaspreet and I rant on about every week.
Absolutely.
See you next week.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.